بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. الحمد لله رب العالمین و الصلاة والسلام على سیدنا و نبینا و طبیب نفوسنا و حبیب قلوبنا ابی القاسم محمد. صلی الله علیه و آله و سلم لا سیما بقیت الله روحی و ارواح العالمین لتراب مقدمه الفداء. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ومن أظلم ممن افترى على الله الكذب وهو يدعى إلى الإسلام والله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين يريدون ليطفئوا نور الله بأفواههم والله متم نوره ولو كره الكافرون هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. My very dear brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. Congratulations on the auspicious occasion of the birth anniversary of Fatimatul Ma'asumah, the second Fatima, the daughter of Imam Musa ibn Ja'far, Imam al-Kazim alayhi salam, whose title of Al-Ma'asumah was given to her by her Ma'asum brother, Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Rida alayhi salam. The first of the month of Dhul-Qa'adah marks the birth anniversary of this great lady of Islam. When we are visiting her in a visitation that is narrated again by Imam Rida alayhi salam, we refer to her as Bint Waliyullah, the daughter of Waliyullah, Ukht Waliyullah, the sister of Waliyullah, and Ammat Waliyullah, the aunt of Waliyullah, that is referred to Imam Al-Jawad. Sister of Waliyullah is obviously referring to Imam Rida alayhi salam, and the daughter of Waliyullah, meaning the one whose father, yani Imam Ali, Imam Musa ibn Ja'far, Imam Kadhim alayhi salam, is Waliyullah. In that visitation that really reflects on the personality, the great personality of Fatimah al-Ma'asumah salamullah alayha, Imam Rida alayhi salam is teaching us that when we are visiting here, we say, Ya Fatima, ishfa'i lana fil jannah fa inna laki inda Allah sha'nan min ash-sha'n. O Fatima, as her name was Fatima, O Fatima, intercede for us on the day of judgment to be able to proceed to paradise inshallah, because surely for you there is such a high status. I trust that you know that the Prophet of Islam sallallahu alaihi wasallam in more than one occasion has referred to his daughter Fatimatu Zahra salamullah alaiha as Fedaha Abuha, when the Prophet was very much impressed with the personality, with the character and with knowledge of Fatimatu Zahra salamullah alayha. Interestingly, we have a similar quotation narrated from Imam Musa ibn Ja'far alayhi salam about his daughter Fatimah al-Ma'asumah, who was the oldest daughter of Imam Musa ibn Ja'far alayhi salam. Historians have mentioned that once it happened that Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam was out of the town, out of Medina, and a delegation of Muslims, Shia, they had come with numbers of questions to ask Imam Kadhim alayhi salam. Because Imam Kadhim was not there and they had limited opportunity to stay in Medina, they had no choice but to hand over the questions to the family of the Imam and left Medina to be able to come back next time, collect the answers for their questions. Fatimah al-Ma'asumah, the daughter of Musa ibn Ja'far, at that time she was only 6 years of 6 years old. When she saw the questions, she wrote all the answers for the questions and gave them back to the people who had come, to the Shia who had come to Medina. On the way back home, they met with Imam Musa ibn Ja'far alayhi salam. And after greetings, they said that, Ya Ibn Rasulallah, we were in Medina and unfortunately we could not stay long. We had submitted our questions to your family and someone from your family members has answered our questions. We were wondering if you wanted to have a look at them. And Imam Musa ibn Ja'far alayhi looks at the questions and the answers, and obviously can tell that these are the answers written by his daughter Fatima, who is referred to as Fatima al-Thani, the second Fatima, because of Fatima al-Zahra being the first. And upon reading the answers of his daughter, Imam Musa ibn Ja'far alayhi salam, he says, Fidaha abuha, meaning that, like, literally translating, may her father be sacrificed for him, in the sense of the Imam was very much impressed with the knowledge of his daughter. Fatimah al-Ma'asumah, salamullah alayha, the reward of visiting her grave equals the reward of visiting the grave of Imam Ali ibn Musa Ridha alayhi salam, according to the words of Imam Ali ibn Musa Ridha alayhi salam, that who says that man zara Fatimah biqum, referring to his sister, kaman zarani, he's like the one who has visited me. Historians have mentioned that after Imam Ridha alayhi salam was forced to go to today's Khurasan Mashhad at that time, Tus, about a year after that, Fatimah al-Ma'asumah decides to join her brother, and on the way nearby Qom, he falls sick. According to some narrations, according to others, he was poisoned by the enemies of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, and she feels sick, and she's asking how far are we from Qom, and when they say that not far from Qom, she requests to be taken to the city of Qom, which was known as a very well-known city of the scholars of the Shia. And she did not live there long, some weeks, some days, and until she passed away, and her grave today is in Qom al-Muqaddasa, that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam refers to that city as one of the sacred places of Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salam. On this auspicious occasion, I would like to congratulate our present Imam Ajjalallah Ta'ala Farajul Sharif for the birth anniversary of his aunt Fatimah al-Ma'asumah Salamullah Alayha. And from the beginning of the month of Zilqadah to the 10th of it, that is the birth anniversary of Imam Ali ibn Musa Ridha Alayhi Salam, that will be next Friday inshallah, we'll be celebrating it, is called and is given the title of Dahe Karamat, which means the 10 days and nights of honor, as we are honored to celebrate these great occasions during this time. Sallu ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad wa ala aswatikum. The main topic that I have to share with you tonight, following some sad news that we've been going through since more than a week ago or so, is titled Dealing with Mischiefs Against Islam. And to the best of my knowledge, I try to present myself and whatever I think, inshallah, for the sake of God, is best to share with you, brothers and sisters. And promise me that if you have any comment on it, by all means, I'm happy to receive your suggestion, your comments to improve it. This is just thinking loud together for now from my end, and inshallah, if we have a chance after that, I'm happy to take questions as well, and to develop, inshallah, something that will be for the best interest of our community, at least our local community in Sydney. Right from the rise of Islam, there has been always an attack or an attempt to try to extinguish to cover, to cloud the light of Islam, simply. And that is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran has referred to in Surah Al-Baqarah and other chapters of the Quran, that the enemies of Islam have been obviously always on an attempt of making deceptions and plots against Islam and against Muslim, because obviously their interests would be jeopardized with the rise of Islam. In Surah Al-Baqarah, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ, the disbelievers and especially the hypocrites, who are the real disbelievers, but they come in a different fashion, they are attempting يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهُ, it means that they assume that they can deceive Allah and that they can deceive the true believers. But in truth, Quran says, وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ, harm. The truth is that they are deceiving but themselves, وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ, but they realize it not. Because the fact is that, as inshallah will explain it to you, although we are going through a big challenge in our days, in our modern time, the challenge of Islam being attacked left and right and Muslims' reputation being in jeopardy left and right, but on the other side, the good part of it, as the ayah of the Quran has foretold us, and the Rawayat has mentioned this to us in several occasions, is that the good side of it is that this will contribute towards the spread of Islam more. In other words, whether they attack Islam or they don't attack Islam, Islam is going to grow. And that's the ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ. They think, they endeavor, they intend to put out the fire of the light of Islam. It's just like they think that they can put out the light of Islam بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ, with their mouth. But وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will perfect His light, the light of Islam. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافَرُونَ, even if disbelievers don't like it, even if they hate it. Later on, Quran following ayah says that even وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ, مُشْرِكُونَ كَافَرُونَ, if they don't fight it, Islam naturally, as the religion of nature, it will grow. They fight it, they advertise Islam more and make people more curious to know about this beautiful religion. And therefore, read between the lines. Inshallah, there is always good coming out of all these supposedly adversaries. Quran, however, refers to the deceptions that the enemies of Islam make against Islam and against Muslims. Often refers to it as al-fitna. The term al-fitna is one of the very comprehensive and profound terms used in the Quran to educate us about how to deal with such deceptions made by the enemies of Islam. Why is it that it is referred to as al-fitna, like Quran refers to what they are doing in Surah At-Tawbah, that yabghunakum al-fitna wa fikum samma'un lahum. They love to cause fitna and mischief among you. And unfortunately, among you there are some who listen to them. Among you there are some naive people that they will be taken for a ride by mischief makers. The term fitna in the Quran has various meanings that all of them, almost all of them are related, and we can make it one common meaning from getting out of all of them. One meaning of fitna is deception. لا يفتننكم الشيطان. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, O children of Adam, make sure that shaitan does not fool you. Make sure shaitan does not deceive you. لا يفتننكم, from the root of fitna again. So one meaning of fitna is deception. To be maftoon, it means to be deceived, to be fooled by somebody else. The second meaning of fitna is test. أَحَسَبَ النَّاسَ أَنْ يُتْرَكُوا أَنْ يَقُولُوا آمَنُوا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do people think that they will not be tested? Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, يُفْتَنُون, from fitna. So in every mischief there is a test for you and I, for us Muslims who come across a mischief made against us, made against our religion, as to see how we are going to deal with it. Fitna also, it means punishment and chastisement, because depending again on how we deal with the mischief, we may be rewarded or maybe punished. Likewise, the mischief makers, it's referred to them what they are doing as a fitna, because definitely there is a chastisement awaiting them, there is a punishment awaiting them. Alright, now, the purpose of all this mischief is what? The purpose is obviously, as I said and as the Quran says, is to يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ, to put out the light of Allah. The light of Allah is an expression for the religion of Islam, for true Islam. Because they don't want Islam to spread. Because they look at the statistics and they see that Islam is the fastest growing religion in the West. That's upsetting them. Those evangelical Christians that they don't like this, obviously, they find a way, one way, in one way or the other, to see لِيُطْفَئُونَ نُورَ اللَّهِ, to put down, to put out the light of Islam, if they can. Mischief makers, did not exist, do not exist only now. Right from the beginning of the time of Islam, I said, they were making mischiefs. Quran mentions, for example, as an example of it, this part of it is mentioned in the Quran, that they were telling their friends that early in the morning, you go to Muhammad, you go to Muslims and pretend that you become a Muslim. Pretend that you are converted to Islam. And a couple of days later or later in the, on the day, you again turn away from Islam. Say, you know what, I went, I became a Muslim. I even prayed for a while. There is nothing in it. Don't worry about it. I tested it. I tried it. There's nothing on it. So that they can cast doubt in the minds of Muslim. This is an example of fitna. Another top, and in fact the biggest fitna and mischief that Muslim community went through was after the demise of the Prophet under a shade called Saqifah Bani Sa'idah. It was because of that mischief made against Islam that Amirul Mu'mineen, Mawla al-Muwahideen, Imam Ali alayhi salam, had to stay at home, sit at home for over 2 decades. To give you an example of mischief, right after the demise of the Prophet and during that very crucial mischief time that made a coup against Imam Ali, Abu Sufyan, the first enemy of Islam, goes and knocks on the door of Imam Ali. Ya Ali, I'm here to support you. I'm here to pay allegiance with you. Give me your hand, Ali. You deserve to be the Khalifa of Rasulullah. Not Abu Bakr, not Omar, not those people. Imam Ali alayhi salam, who can read between the lines, who knows who is the real enemy, who is not, Imam says that, Ya Abu Sufyan, you have come to fool Ali ibn Abi Talib. You want to be a mischief maker? You want to wage a war between me and Abu Bakr, wage a war between the Muslims? Get lost in my language, simple language. You cannot fool me. He was a mischief maker. Mischiefs against Imam Ali continued, especially during the 4 years or so of the reign and the Khilafat of Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam. 3 civil wars were imposed against Imam Ali alayhi salam, all by so-called Muslims. Qasitin, Muawiyah and his troops, they put the Quran on the pick of their spears to fool the followers of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Then we had the Battle of Camel. Look, on the one side is the wife of the Prophet, one of the wives of the Prophet, Ummul Mu'mineen, standing against Amirul Mu'mineen. And worse than all of it, that Imam Ali alayhi salam says, that was the biggest mischief made against me, was the mischief of Khawarij, who used to be around Amirul Mu'mineen, who used to be in the camp of Amirul Mu'mineen. Then they turned against him. And apparently they were very supposedly practicing Muslims by the look of it. That Imam Ali alayhi salam says that only me could pull out the eyes of mischief, referring to Khawarij. And after me, no one else could do that. They continued that with Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam. They made a scenario that Imam Hassan had no choice but to accept the peace treaty with Muawiyah. And still his character has and is being assassinated by enemies of Islam. Mischiefs against Islam, against Ahlul Bayt continued until the time of Imam Ali ibn Musa Rida alayhi salam. That some of the naive Muslims, they turned on and said, and they turned away from Imam Rida. And they said, how come, what kind of Imam is he? That he accepts to be the prince of the tyrant king Ma'mun? Because they could not comprehend it. In our modern time, mischief makers also are coming with new strategies. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. We all know that as they announced it, the then President of the United States, he announced it that after September 11, he called for a crusade. And now they're calling for a second crusade under the guise of war on terror. As a result of that, that it still remains a mystery who was really behind that perpetration of 9/11. In 2005, sort of, it began with that Danish cartoon. Then last year, again on the anniversary of September 11, that was not coincidence, that an insane, best to refer to an insane priest, he threatened to burn the Holy Quran. And again this year, on the anniversary of the September 11, again a movie was was spread. Let me give you some background about this, and then inshallah we'll go to analysis of what we have done and what we can do, what is the best to do. This movie, to my research, was on YouTube since June. Not the movie itself, the trailer of the movie, 12, 13, 14 minutes of the trailer of the movie has been on YouTube since about 4 months ago. No one could care less about it. Did not get much rating, in fact, not much comment, because it's a very vulgar, amateur, and very provocative, you know, trailer of a movie that was made. It was not really attracting any attention until that the same incense priest who had threatened to burn the Quran last year, he decides again on the anniversary of September 11 to provoke Muslims. And he's circulating to some of the Muslim sites. What is inside the movie? The movie begins with this, that a group of Muslims, they attack a man's business, they charge into a man's business, and they destroy everything, and they set it on the torch, and they burn it. All right? And then it goes to very disgusting, insultive way of, you know, portraying the Prophet of Islam, that I as much as I wanted to see, to analyze it, I could not really stand for more than 2 minutes. And then I turned it off and I said, really, rubbish and a half. Not only me and you, many of my non-Muslim Christian friends, they say that they could not be bothered to watch more than 2 minutes of it. All right? But unfortunately, after it was circulated to what you call it, to some Muslim sites on Facebook and such places, then the war began. The first time that it was broadcast, I'm sure you didn't watch it on Channel 9. I'm sure you didn't watch it on CNN. First time it was broadcast by two Salafi TV channels. Okay? In fact, let me be very frank with you. First time that you came to know about it, how did you get to know about it? Emails from us that we were circulating the link to one another. That's how I got to know about it. That's how I found the link for it. Okay? So who spread this movie or the trailer of that movie? Most of it so-called Muslims, us, naive Muslims, just for curiosity, to show that I've got some hot news for you, that if you don't know, let's have a look at it, okay? Or with other intentions, that's what the Quran says, وَفِيكُمْ سَمَّاعُونَ لَهُمْ. Among you, there are some who will be easily provoked, because the intention was to instigate Muslims. And they did a job. They did a very good job. As a result of that, those two TV channels that they broadcasted, see what happens. A war began. It began with some protests and rallies, supposed to be peaceful rallies, but soon ended in violence. Ended in chanting and holding placards of, you know, the movie maker must be headed. Come on, what are you talking about, my friend? And they even furthered, I watched it, and perhaps some of you have watched it as well, in some Muslim countries, in North Lebanon, you know, KFC was burned down, embassies attacked, and anything. And look, as an independent person, a non-Muslim, who had no idea about it, that could not be bothered about that trailer, now everyone is interested to watch it. And everyone says that, aha, so that movie was right. Because what he can see on news mirrors exactly what was depicted in the movie. Isn't it? Conclusion, they achieved sort of what they wanted to achieve. Because that guy who sent the link of that movie to some Muslims, he had no intention other than instigating Muslims, provoking them emotionally. And did the job without us sitting together and really thinking that what we are doing, are we going to really give a good service to Islam or not serving Islam properly? And now what the funny thing is that after what happened last week or last week in Sydney, now we are under pressure that now we have to give a statement to denounce it and apologize. Because some headless, excuse my expression, some headless people, they creep into, or perhaps enemies in fact, creep into the protesters, created all those again mischiefs, showing violence, showing things that are breaking the law, and then we have to now apologize on their behalf. Allahu Akbar. What is this humiliation that we are going through? On the one hand, they attack our religion, attack our Holy Prophet. On the other hand, we have some naive, best to refer to them, some naive Muslims that become their elements, that now we have to apologize also on behalf of whatever the rest have done. No wonder that French cartoonists now they have come into the scene as well. God knows what will be the next. Because they learned. They learned it that how it's so easy to provoke Muslims and hey, make money. Make money and more people to buy the magazine, watch the movie and things like that. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. A man came to Imam Ali alayhi salam, brothers and sisters, and he said, Ya Ali, can I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to be tested? I don't want to be in any fitna. I want to have my peaceful life, to look after my mortgage and, you know, live my life peacefully. What is all of this about? Imam Ali alayhi salam says that this dua will never be granted. It's in Nahj al-Balagha. Never say that, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-fitna. I seek refuge with you from fitna, not to be in any mischief. Say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min madallat al-fitan. Ya Allah, I seek refuge to you from going astray, from slipping at the time of mischief. When mischief makers are coming with their mischiefs, I seek refuge to you not to slip. Not instead of serving Islam, harm Islam. This is what we have to seek refuge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to protect us. If we are not going to help Islam, at least not to harm Islam. Despite almost all Islamic countries, by Islamic countries I mean countries that Muslims are residing, majority or much of the population is Muslims, Iran was perhaps the only one that dealt with the issue so wisely, and I'll give you the reason for that. In fact, the denouncement that the Islamic Republic of Iran had made was almost the last, that some of the friends were wondering, where is this Iran? Why Iran doesn't say anything? You never heard any of such violence and such sort of, riots in Iran at all during this time. Why? Because people in Iran, they have a wise leader. Their leaders are not puppets of the West to send fuel to the fire. And because they were after Iran a lot, as they are always after Iran, I read it myself about 5 days after the incident, the Economist magazine in the UK was waiting to see what the Islamic Republic of Iran does, what would be the reaction of Iran, to grab it, to highlight it, to use it against Iran. But because they couldn't find anything, you know, the only thing that the only picture they could put on the Economist magazine was the picture of 2 decades ago at the time of Salman Rushdie that people were chanting and demonstrating. They couldn't find anything else. Because Ayatollah Khamenei, Hafizullah, he said that the Islamic international policy stands on a triangle. Please keep this with you at all times. At the time of the mischief, this is what we need. The triangle of the Islamic international policy. First and foremost, al-izzah, dignity of Muslims, must be safeguarded. Any action that we do, if it's going to bring humiliation to Muslims, this is not acceptable on international policy of Islam. So to go on a protest and end up in riots and violence that later on we have to apologize to the federal police, this is against the first principle, the principle of al-izzah, the dignity of Muslims. You are rather humiliating your community, my friend, by your silly actions. Be careful. Likewise, not to do anything, sit back and say that, hey, it's a freedom of speech. What can we do? There's nothing we can do. I have to look after my mortgage and my life and my business and my family. And don't care at all. Again, this is violating the principle of al-izzah, dignity of Muslims. They continue worse and worse without you achieving anything. So the first principle, or the first angle of the triangle of the international Islamic policy is to make sure that the al-izzah and the dignity of Muslims is safeguarded. This is first. The second is al-hikmah. Ud'u ila sabil rabbika bil-hikmati wal-mu'izati al-hasana. Call to the way of your Lord with wisdom. Ayatollah Khamenei says that the second angle of the triangle of the international Islamic policy is to apply wisdom in any mischief. Mischief requires a very profound wisdom, otherwise it will backfire on us. Otherwise we end up apologizing. A brother was saying that look at this world, how double standard they are. That if anyone says anything against a Jew, this is anti-Semitism. If anyone says anything about the gay or homosexuals, this is homophobia. But if anyone says anything about Islam and Muslims and the Prophet of Islam, this is freedom of speech. Agree. Fully agree with you. This is the world that we are living in. But what is the solution? Is the solution to go on the streets and break use violation and riots and all these things? Or we are, by doing so, we are sending more fuel to the fire. Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahj al-Balagha has a very good code. Is giving us very good key to solve the problems during the time of the mischiefs. He says, "Kun fil fitna." That is the first or second word of wisdom of Nahj al-Balagha. Please go read it, memorize it. Short, but so profound. "Kun fil fitnati kabn al-labun." لا ظهر فيركب ولا ضرع فيحلب. When there is a mischief, at the time of mischief that the enemies of Islam are making left and right mischiefs against Islam, you got to be very intelligent. You got to be very careful. At that time, make sure that you're like a baby camel, a she baby camel, that she's too young to give any ride. No one can take her for a ride because she's too young, doesn't have the strong back to ride on her. Also because she's too young to give any milk. Imam says that during the time of mischief you have to be like this. Some people misinterpret this hadith, however, they think that it means that I have to be neutral, not to take side. No, that's not the meaning of what Imam Ali alayhi salam says. It means that during the time of mischief, make sure that your enemies don't take you for a ride. By you doing things emotionally, by you doing things unmeasured, properly, thinking, okay, if we go on a rally, on a demonstration, or anything else, what are we going to achieve? And after that, measure it, analyze it, how much of the aim and objective that we have, we did achieve or not, or did it take us farther away from it? Also, not to have the breast to give milk, it means not make sure during the time of the mischief, I'm not doing anything that I'm sending fuel to the fire. If I'm sending fuel to the fire, again, I'm harming Islam more than, what do you call it, helping Islam. So the first principle was al-izzah, dignity. The second principle was al-hikmah, and that is talking about the wisdom, dealing with issues with wisdom, as Quran says in Surah An-Nahl, "Ud'u ila sabil rabbika bil hikmati wal mu'izati al hasana." And the third principle is al-maslaha. Maslaha, it means what is for the best interest of Islam to do now. Surely it is not for the best interest of Islam to remain silent. I'm not saying that. I'm only saying this to people that I'm not sure whether they are going to deal with it correctly or not. If you don't know how to deal with it, my friend, you sit back, please. For God's sake, you are not the custodian of the Muslim community. You are not the right person for it. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam would not allow all his companions and his students to go and debate non-Muslims and non-Shia. He would only allow a few whose wisdom and knowledge and intelligence Imam Sadiq would trust. Alright? So, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to say not to do anything. We want to think, plan it together, to do something. Inshallah, Imam al-Hujjah ajallallahu farajahu sharif will be pleased with us. And inshallah, I have some suggestions to make it in this public forum, and more, inshallah, after we get get together in our meetings to discuss it. For now, some of the suggestions, if you say, help me with Salawat Allah Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad to share with you. All right. My first suggestion in dealing with mischiefs in our modern time, especially for people who are living in the West as minorities. Number one, change challenges to opportunities. Keep this always in mind. In every adversary, we have a golden opportunity to present ourselves. We have a golden opportunity to introduce ourselves and our dear religion, Islam. Yes, it's a challenge. Rather than just being upset and do silly things that why they are doing this, my father used to say, Rahmatullah alayhi, when your enemy is someone who is not your friend, is doing something, making a mischief against you, or is over-smarting you, don't be upset with him, be upset with yourself. That why I'm so naive that he can fool me? Why I'm so weak that he can overpower me? Huh? It's a challenge, therefore. And we can change this challenge to an opportunity. How to change it into opportunity? I give you some example. In 2005, when that Danish cartoonist had depicted and insulted the Holy Prophet of Islam, what I did in Sydney was to come up with a course and under the title of Muhammad the Mercy for the World. Some of you, I'm sure, have attended the course and remember it. It was quite a lengthy course, in 30 lessons, sessions, and so forth. Then we implemented it as part of our EHOSEC curriculum, deliberately. Now I can tell you that using that opportunity to introduce Islam, to introduce the true characteristics of the Prophet of Islam, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alam, with the very limited resources, abilities that we had, now that I'm sitting in front of you, more than 10 EHOSEC graduate EHOSEC students in Denmark who have done the course on the Holy Prophet of Islam, they are teaching and preaching the personality of the Prophet of Islam in native Danish language, apart from others in other places. Because once that cartoon was made, there was a good ground for us to go out. There was a market, they created a market for us. Instead of being upset, my friend, now take the opportunity that they have created a market. Do you see how YouTube doesn't put it down? Because they are after rates and markets. The same applies to you and I. Use this challenge as an opportunity instead of, you know, just sitting back and swearing and saying things that we are not supposed to do it. This is one. So the first is that we can use the challenges into what do you call it, opportunity. The second is, the name of the movie was what? The name of the movie was Innocence of Muslims. So play innocence. Show the innocence of Islam. The tragedy of Karbala had become eternal because Sayyidah Zainab Salamullah Alayha and Ahlul Bayt Alayhi Salam, they showed the innocence of the martyrs of Karbala with the emotions that they shared, not violence. They did not apply violence after Karbala. Not only that, they never supported it even, but with tears brought triumph of Islam, triumph of Ahlul Bayt Alayhi Salam. You have this opportunity. Let us prepare something, the least that we can do, nice pamphlets, nice small whatever that we can, some informations, and sit with some friends, non-Muslim friends. Father Dave is there for us. He is calling upon us to come and tell me what I can do for you. Father John is giving his support. Father Patrick and all of these and many others. Go and visit them, sit together, ask them, Father, do you mind if on Sunday I come to your gathering, Sunday communion, I want to give 5 minutes talk about the personality of the Prophet of Islam. Okay? I want to tell them who the Prophet was. And Alhamdulillah, Prophet of Mercy, we have so much good information about it. So use this as an opportunity to go out to non-Muslims and introduce Islam. And in fact, somehow I think that we are to be blamed as well. Let's be frank with one another. Huh? The only movie that is available to my knowledge about the life of the Prophet of Islam is the one, what? The Message. A friend of mine was saying that still anytime I remember Hamza, I remember Anthony Quinn. Why does it have to be like this? So, why is it that as Muslims still we don't have any movie made about the great personality of the Prophet of Islam? And then we give chance and room to non-Muslims, the enemies of Islam, to make such biased, ridiculous, vulgar, provocative movies to just play with our emotions and nothing else. I really pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to be able to serve Islam, to help us to be able to use these opportunities before we lose them. At the moment, we have a golden opportunity. The world is all waiting to hear about Islam. We don't present it, and therefore the enemies of Islam mispresent our religion. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. I would like to finish it with one dua, inshallah, that Imam Ali alayhi salam has taught us. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min madallat al-fitan. Ya Allah, I seek refuge with you from going astray during the time of the mischief. Allahumma a'tin al-basira inda tashabbuh al-fitan. Ya Allah, give me insight at the time of mischief. Allahumma kun li waliyyik al-hujjat ibn al-Hasan. صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا صلوا على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد